Let us gather to worship as we hear the bell choir this morning for a prelude. Thank you very much, Bell Choir, and we welcome all of you this morning on this Lord's Day. We're glad that you made it out here to worship this morning. We have several announcements this morning, and at this time I'll ask Jessica to come forward and she'll have an announcement.
Good morning. On behalf of Women's Fellowship, we'd just like to extend a sincere thank you for everybody who helped with the bazaar yesterday, helped to make it a success, whether you brought baked goods or made soup, even came and just shopped and supported us. Thank you. Also, we still have some goodies left. It'll be back in the gathering place after the service today. If you'd like to purchase anything, it's by donation.
Okay, thank you, Jessica. Earl has an announcement.
Just another announcement about caroling. Next week, is it next week already? The first week in December, we will be caroling. No, that's not next week. It's the following week. First week in December, we will be caroling. The youth in the praise team and whoever else would like to go along with this caroling, that would be great. And then the 15th, that would be a Saturday after, December 15th would be the Maristown Community Caroling. There would be different churches joining in and... hope to see as many as you can. You want to go along caroling, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Earl. Andy this morning has an announcement.
Good morning. Sorry, I got a couple of phone calls this week that nobody could really hear what I was talking about last week, so they asked me to say it again. What we're doing with our mortgage is trying to redo it to bring our payments down every month. Our current mortgage payment is around $5,800. If we extend the loan out to our original finish date, it's going to help us and drop the payments to $3,800. What we're trying to do before we redo the mortgage is get as much money together to put on top of the mortgage to bring our payments down lower. Currently, we have about $50,000 to put on the mortgage, which would bring our payment to $2,700 a month, which would be huge for helping out right now. So what we're trying to do is to see if anybody would like to contribute to this by the end of the year, and then we will redo the mortgage. If anybody would like to put any money towards that, we are putting it towards a debt reduction campaign. Just make the checks out to either myself, or not to me, but get them to me or put them in the, sorry. Well, you can make them out to me, that's fine. No, just get them either to me or put them in the plates, and just make sure they're marked debt reduction so we know where they're going, that it's not going to the building fund as a regular payment or anything. All right, thank you.
Now, this is the season of Thanksgiving, so whatever it takes. Any other announcements? Let's all stand and sing our opening hymn, number 17, We Gather Together.
Gather together.
Join me in the call to worship this morning, call of worship of thanksgiving. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or epistle. Now may our God, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work and word. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the season of thanksgiving, Lord God. We pray that we would truly have a grateful heart for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, Lord God. We thank you that you are the great giver of all good things, Lord God. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would lead, guide, and direct us in this time of worshiping you. We pray that this would truly be a holy set-apart time where we just put our distractions, our concerns on the side, Lord, and just worship and thank you for who you are. We pray that you would lead, guide, and direct us in this time of worship, that everything that we say and do would be for your honor and glory, and uphold the name of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, and the children can come forward for the children's story.
Good morning, my friends. How is everybody?
Yeah.
Good. All right. I like that enthusiasm, Will. Let's be like Will. How is it this morning?
Good.
Oh, are you sure?
Yeah.
That kind of sounded like, I'm okay.
Good.
There you go. Good. All right. So, coming up this week is a holiday. What is it?
Christmas.
Christmas already? Are you sure? Thanksgiving, yes. Now, why do we celebrate Thanksgiving? Do you know?
The Pilgrims and Indians.
Pilgrims and the Indians, they had the first Thanksgiving meal, didn't they? Do you know why the Pilgrims came over here in the first place? That's exactly right. They came over here for religious freedom so they can worship God the way that they had thought the scriptures told them. And so they spent 65 days in the boat. Can you imagine that? 65 days. And they finally saw land on November 9th, 1620. That's a long time ago, isn't it? Yeah. Brianna knows, right? Okay, so when they saw the land, do you think they were like, oh, it's just land, or were they excited?
They were excited,
right, Will? Yes. And so one of the pilgrims, William Brewster, led them in Psalm 100. Did you know that? When they saw land, they gave thanksgiving to God by reading Psalm 100. Now, why do we give thanks to God? Does anybody know? Yes. To eat dinner, yes, we give him for our dinner. How about you, Clark?
For seeing,
yes. We thank the Lord that we can see because there are some that can't. For friends and family, yes.
For food,
uh-huh. Charlotte?
For friends,
Ella? For life, that's exactly right. Will, what are you thankful to God for? That he died for our sins. Very good. How about you, Brantley?
For your pets.
For your pets. That's a very good one. Why do you thank God, Daniel?
For Benji.
Very good. And?
Clothes.
For clothes. We could go on and on, right?
Uh-huh.
Yes, one more.
So you don't be scared.
Yep. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. And?
Plum.
And for what?
And for love.
And for love? Very good. So Brooke is going to read from the Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. And it tells us what to do.
Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
So it says that we should always give thanks, right?
Yeah.
No matter what's going on, even when it may be something bad, we can still give thanks because we still have stuff that other people might don't, right? Okay, so like the pilgrims, we're going to learn Psalm 100. It's only five verses. All right, so can you do it with me? All right, you got to do motion, so you got to pay attention. You ready?
All right. Shout for joy to the Lord.
To the Lord.
All the earth.
All the earth.
Worship the Lord.
Worship the Lord.
With gladness.
With gladness.
Come before Him.
Come before Him.
With joyful songs.
With joyful songs.
Know that the Lord.
Know that the Lord.
Is God.
Is God.
It is He.
It is He.
Who made us.
Who made us.
We are His people.
We are His people.
The sheep of His pasture.
The sheep of His pasture.
Enter His gates.
Enter His gates.
With thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving.
And His courts.
And His courts.
With praise.
With praise.
For the Lord is good.
For the Lord is good.
And His love endures forever.
And His love endures forever.
For His faithfulness continues through all generations.
For His faithfulness continues for all His generations.
Good job. Okay, now you can tell everybody you did Psalm 150 just like... What 150? Psalm 100 just like the pilgrims did when they first saw land. What do you think? Wow, she's got like a wow face. Okay, so let's pray to God. And we're going to pray again. And we're going to pray to Him doing Psalm 100. Are you ready? Okay, so say,
Dear God,
this is for you.
This is for you.
Shout for joy to the Lord.
Shout for joy to the Lord.
All the earth.
All the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. The Lord is God.
Know that the Lord is God.
It is He who made us.
It is He who made us.
And we are His.
And we are His.
We are His people.
We are His people.
The sheep of His pasture.
The sheep of His pasture.
Enter His gates with thanksgiving.
Enter His gates with thanksgiving.
And His courts with praise.
And His courts with praise.
Give thanks to Him.
Give thanks to Him.
And praise His name.
And praise His name.
For the Lord is good.
For the Lord is good.
And His love endures forever.
And His love endures forever.
His faithfulness continues through all generations.
His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for that children's story. The offertory hymn this morning, for those of you who are using the hymnals, the fifth verse is going to be on the screen because there's two different versions. So we're going to sing the fifth verse, and if you're using hymnal, the word's going to be on the screen because it won't be in the hymnal. Let's read together our offertory thought and prayer from 1 Chronicles 29, 11 to 12. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Let us pray. God, we come before you this morning, Lord, giving our offerings to you, Lord. We give these offerings to you, Lord, in faith, believing, Lord, that you will send a blessing in return. Bless the ministry of this church and for the needs around us, Lord, that these offerings, Lord, would go for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The children can go to Children's Church, and the ushers can come forward, and let's sing our offertory hymn, For the Beauty of the Earth. At this time, the senior choir is going to sing a Thanksgiving song called Thanksgiving Trilogy. Just a few announcements before I share this morning's prayer concerns. Just a reminder, tonight is our community Thanksgiving service. We hope that you can come out. It's going to be 7 o'clock at the Stone Ridge Poplar Run home at 7 o'clock. So we hope you can make it out for that. Also, in your announcements there, we see that we have board meeting at Tuesday and Bible study. All are welcome for that. And then in your inserts, you'll see a list of names that we need to pray for. An update on Catherine Hartgraft. She is scheduled to come home, so we rejoice in that. Also this week, for the church that we're praying for, this week we're praying for the Hempfield Church of the Brethren. The Hempfield Church of the Brethren we'll pray for, and the Springfield Church of the Brethren is praying for us. And since this is the season of Thanksgiving, I'd like to begin our time of prayer in a silent, guided meditation. I will lead us through several things that we need to be thankful for. So let's come to our guide in prayer and bow our heads in a spirit of prayer. Lord God, we thank you that you are a God of love and faithfulness to us. We thank you, Lord, that no matter what we do, no matter what situation we face, Lord, that you're with us. At this time, Lord, we want to pause and thank you for the many spiritual blessings that you've given us. We thank you now for the freedom that we have, the freedom to worship you, the freedom that we have in our country. And Lord, we lift up our country to you in prayer. We lift up all those who are in office. We lift them to you at this time. We thank you for their service to our country. This time we pray for our ones in the military, the ones who serve our country, the ones who are in harm's way. We lift them to you in prayer. At this time, Lord, we thank you for the church, our church that we have to worship, time to fellowship. We thank you, Lord, that we have a place to worship and a time and an opportunity. We lift up, Lord, the many persecuted Christians who don't have this place to worship. And Lord, we want to lift up all those, Lord, who are in need, ones who are sick, ones who are facing surgery, ones who have ongoing illnesses. Ones who have emotional illness. And Lord, we lift all of our loved ones or families. We pray for families that are coming together for Thanksgiving, and we pray for those families right now that are dysfunctional. We pray your peace and your comfort and guidance upon these families. We thank you, Lord, for this time of worship. And we pray, Lord, that this time of worship would be pleasing to you. And now guide us as we look into your word and your lesson, which you have for us today.
And we pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Turn with me to our scripture text today. We're looking at the prophet Joel. And the best way to find Joel is to turn in the middle of the Bible. You'll find Psalms and just go forward a few and you'll get into the minor prophets. And Joel is right before the prophet Amos. Joel chapter 2, verses 21 through 27. And the title of this morning's message is Be Glad, which the prophet tells us this morning. Hear the word of the Lord from Joel 2, 21 through 27. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done marvelous things. Do not be afraid, you beasts of the field, for the open pastures are springing up. And the tree bears its fruit, the fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. And then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. May God add a blessing in the reading of his word. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, your holy word, which we're in awe with. We pray that you bless this time and guide every word that I speak and a meditation of my heart, Lord, that you would be uplifted and Jesus Christ be glorified. In his name we pray. Amen. This morning, I want to talk about having a grateful heart, having a grateful heart. If I would ask you if you have a grateful heart, a thankful heart, what would you say? And how do we deal for those times? How do we deal with those moments when we don't have that grateful heart? I was thinking of an incident in my own life where I was really kind of down and depressed. And my mind went back to the time when I was in junior high school. I remember in junior high school, we lived along a major highway near our townhouse. And I remember those rainy Monday mornings. And I had to go to school. And whenever it would rain at our house, I would wake up from the sound of the cars going past the house and the wheels slashing through the rain. And it was dark and it was gray outside. And I dreaded to hear that sound of the rain. I'll never forget that sound. And I thought to myself, well, here is another rainy Monday morning. And I didn't have a grateful heart. But a grateful heart is what we are called to have as Christians who know the Lord. And I will say personally that for me, a grateful heart is something that I need to work on. I need to work on it. And that's one of the reasons why I really enjoy the Thanksgiving holiday. Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays of the year. Why? Because it teaches me to be grateful. It teaches me to be more grateful than I am. to be grateful for the many blessings that God gave me, because I don't want to always have those rainy Monday mornings heart. I want to be grateful for everything that God has done for me and to thank Him for all His blessings. I also like Thanksgiving because I have some very fond memories of Thanksgiving growing up in my home. I always enjoyed the Thanksgiving traditions, the family gathering together. I've always said that Thanksgiving for me is all about three F's: food, family, and football. You can probably do without the football, some of you, but for me, it's very much a part of Thanksgiving. But these important traditions we need to embrace when it comes to Thanksgiving. And one of the things also that we need to remember is that Thanksgiving is an important national holiday. We need to thank God for our forefathers, and I'll speak about that later on. But I want to begin by looking at a verse from the Bible and seeing where our Thanksgiving is based. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. And Paul here speaks about where our Thanksgiving is based. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul says, "If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God." So Thanksgiving, according to Paul, is based on the graciousness of Almighty God. A grateful heart, a thankful heart, according to Paul, is something that's above. It's where Christ is. And when we seek those spiritual blessings from God, we'll have a grateful heart. That's important to know. Because if you look at the general population, people today, our society, when we think of thankfulness, many of us base our thankfulness on our earthly circumstance. If we don't have any problems, if we don't have any trials, if we don't have any tribulations, then we're thankful. If everything goes my way, if I get my way, then we're thankful. When we say that, we're not basing our thanksgiving on the Lord God. We're basing thanksgiving on our circumstances in life. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to base thanksgiving on my circumstance in life. Because if that be the case, then none of us would have a thankful heart. We all are going to have trials and tribulations. And so therefore, we really need to see how God is directing our thanksgiving, how God directs our circumstances, and how we need to give Him the thanksgiving for those circumstances. Because how many times have you experienced a trial, a tribulation, and you're devastated at first, but within time we see how God was with us, how God's hand was leading us, and we saw the bigger picture of what God was saying. We're thinking, yes, that's what it's all about. Because God has a higher purpose. He has a higher cause than we do. That's what we need to be thankful for. And that leads to our scripture text for today. If you want to go back to the prophet Joel. Joel is a rather unusual prophet. And I like to say, when it comes to Thanksgiving, when it comes to Joel, one phrase that Joel says when it comes to having a thankful heart, and that is this: disaster leads to a thankful heart for God. If that's how we can best summarize the scripture text today. Disaster leads to a thankful heart for God. Now, Joel is speaking to a people and to a nation of Israel, and they are very much devastated. They're in the midst of a natural disaster. Okay? He was speaking at a time when the country was laid waste by locusts, kind of an unusual way, but that's what God used. Look at Joel chapter 1, verse 2. Joel chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Hear this, you elders, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days or even in the days of your fathers? And look at chapter 1, verse 4, where it says, what the chewing locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the crawling locust has eaten. And what the crawling locust left, the consuming locust has eaten. So what Joel and Israel is facing is a land that was eaten by locusts. Now, that's kind of hard to believe. I'm not sure if we've ever seen disaster, natural disaster through locusts. I mean, I guess there was a scene in A Little House on a Prairie one time where you know they might have had that scene, but it actually did happen back in earlier times when the land would be devastated by locusts, and that's what happened with Joel. Look at verses 6 and 7. We see here the spiritual significance. Joel says, for a nation has come up against my land, strong and without number. His teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he has the fangs of a fierce lion. He has laid waste my vine, that is the land, and ruined my fig tree, and he has stripped it bare and thrown it away. Its branches are made white. And so Joel looks at this. He looks at the whole land that was destroyed, and he only has this one conclusion. This was the judgment of God upon the nation. It was the judgment of God. The judgment of God is something that people today don't want to talk about. It's not a popular topic on talk shows. It's not even a popular topic in the church. But if we believe in the God of the Bible, then we must believe in God's judgment against sin and rebellion. And I would say that the judgment of God upon a nation of people, in this and Joel, it was a good thing. Why? Because it caused people to repent of their sins and return to God. And God blessed them in return, which we're going to see later on. You see, that was the higher cause. That was the higher purpose that God wanted us to see. That when people see the devastation, they return to God, repent, and God blesses them in return. We see that in the text. So the prophet here not only talks about judgment, he shows the judgment of the land with this plague. Joel's message to the people of God showed that God's judgment was a result of what the locusts did to the land. And the only way God would bring the nation back was if they repented of their sins and returned to God. We see this if you look at Joel chapter 2, verse 12. This is the call to repentance here. It says, now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Okay? So, this made me think. If God would judge our nation of the United States like he did with Israel, what would that judgment look like today? Think about that. I don't really have an answer. Would we see a plague of the land like in the prophet Joel's time? Would we see more floods? Would we see more hurricanes? Would we see more wildfires? Would we see what we saw last Thursday, you know, 7 inches of snow and people going haywire on the roads? What would it take for people to repent and return to God? Now, when you read Joel, some would say that what we're seeing in Joel was a wake-up call for Israel, a wake-up call for the entire land. When that was eaten by locusts, it was a wake-up call for the people to repent of their sins. And here again, I ask the question, what would it take for our own country to have a wake-up call from God? What would it take for the people of our nation to return back to God? And we know that no matter what faces, what judgment is upon our land, some people will never repent. But as people of God, we should know better than that. Now, when it comes to our nation, when it comes to, you know, repenting and returning to God, some people would argue that we were never a nation under God. But if you read the accounts, if you read U.S. history, if you read the accounts of how our country was founded under the leadership of George Washington, many of our founding fathers believed in the providence of God. They believed in the providence of God, which meant they believed that God was leading us as a nation. God was blessing us as a nation. George Washington firmly believed that. They believed that God's hand was leading them to form our nation with the providence of God and leading us to form our nation. And I believe that we need more leaders in our country today who believe in the providence of God. You don't often hear that from leaders today, where they believe that God is leading our nation. Wouldn't it be nice to live in a country where all of our political leaders would make decisions based on what God wants and ask for his favor on our land, and the people would follow? I want to read to you a portion of the first Thanksgiving proclamation that was written by George Washington in 1789. And as I read this, it's a very good proclamation for Thanksgiving. As I read it, listen to what Washington says about the providence of God and how we need to be thankful for God, who they believed was leading our nation and blessing us. I quote, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign the Thursday, the 26th day of November, next to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of the great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation." Washington went on to say in his Thanksgiving proclamation, and I quote, "To thank God for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty, that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations," unquote. I was reading the account of George Washington crossing the Delaware River on December 23rd, 1776, and it was amazing to see what they all went through to go through in victory in crossing the Delaware. And because of that, Washington was so thankful that God was directing him. And he believed in the people of this nation. If they believed that the people of the nation would pray, that God would bless the nation. So in other words, our thanksgiving to God should include our prayers to God. Our prayers thanking him for his benefits and his leading us as a nation. And that made me think and ask, are we able to do this today? Are we able to thank God for his blessings upon us today as a nation? Are we thankful that God's mighty hand was leading our founding fathers to form our nation under God? We need to be thankful for that. Some people, I'm sure, would say it's difficult to be thankful when there's so much sin and disaster in our country. You know, politics going haywire, politicians going haywire. Well, that's why we need to return to God. And it begins with you and me in the church today. I'll also make this note about Joel. The people of God at that time, when it came to worship, were very sluggish in their worship of God. They were worshiping false gods. And as I read that, it made me wonder if we are like that today in our churches. When was the last time you and I turned to God with all of our hearts, with fasting and weeping and mourning? Well, first we need to see that we are totally helpless without God and His leading. When the nation and the people of Israel, during Joel's time, when they saw their land totally destroyed, I'm sure they were people who asked, can these dry bones live? Will our country live? Will our country and people survive? But what were they facing in their future? What was Israel facing in their future at that time? The people in the nation of Israel in Joel's time were facing an uncertain future with God. What would their future be like as a nation that was destroyed? What would their future be like as a nation when God was judging them? And so that's the message that Joel says here. They also believed that there was a great day of the Lord, and that great day of the Lord would soon come. Now, this was something big. The great day of the Lord, when Jesus Christ would come, when their Messiah would come and judge the land and judge the nation and judge the entire world. Joel says that's not going to be a happy day for unbelievers. He says there's going to be weeping and mourning from the people who are not saved and total destruction of the land. Joel chapter 2, verse 2, it says it will be a day of darkness and gloominess, the like of whom has never been, or will there ever be any such after them. The day of the Lord, the day of darkness and gloominess. The day of the Lord will be a lot worse than our rainy Monday mornings that we know today. In other words, the future judgment of God will be much worse than what we're seeing today. You say, well, then how can we be thankful? That's when God will come through. Look at Joel 2, 18 through 19. Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people. The Lord will answer and say to his people, behold, I will send you grain and new wine and oil, and you will be satisfied by them. I will no longer make you reproach among the nations. In other words, he's saying, the Lord's going to fight for you. In other words, the message is this: God will come through when we repent, when we see where we have fallen. God will come through. God will come through when we know we're at our lowest point. And what we need to know is this: our future is in God's hands. And it is our responsibility to be ready for Christ's coming. And until then, we need to be thankful for God's providence, for God's leading in every situation that we face. Just when you and I think things can't get any worse, God comes through. God gives us a hope. He gives us a future through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Keep that hope alive in your hearts today. And in the meantime, as we approach the season of Thanksgiving, just be thankful for what you have. Be thankful for what you have. Be thankful for what you have around you. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, where Paul says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. That really is a Thanksgiving verse, Philippians 4, 11. To be thankful for what we have. Be satisfied with what you have. Enjoy the season of Thanksgiving, and thank God for all of his blessings. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you speak to us in so many ways. You speak to us through your word. You speak to us, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. You speak to us, Lord, through the church and through the people of the church, Lord God. We thank you for this time that we had today, Lord, to take in your word. And we pray, Lord, that as we leave here today, that we would truly have a grateful heart, Lord, for what you have given us. We thank you and praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand as we sing our closing song. And after the closing hymn, the choir is going to have our benediction. Number 196, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Forgot to make this announcement. This Thursday is Thanksgiving, so we won't have Bible study. I forgot that I'm going to be with my wife's family that day.
Amen.